The third reading is from the beginning of John's biography of Jesus, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. Please open your John booklets to page 3 and follow along with me from the top. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things are made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known."
Thank you very much indeed for reading for us. Let me introduce myself. My name is Chris. As Glenn mentioned earlier, I'm now the pastor of a church called Stanmore Chapel, which is up in Harrow. But before I worked for churches, I worked for a number of years in the city, including a number of years on London Wall. And so it's always good to have the opportunity to come back to this part of town. And it is wonderful to have the opportunity to think together just for a few minutes about the Christmas story. And we're going to do that just by thinking about one verse from that reading we've just had. It's John chapter 1 and verse 14. It's about three quarters of the way down, page 3 there in the little John's Gospels that you've got. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Now you might be thinking, hold on, that does not tick all the normal nativity boxes. Maybe you're after the warm familiarity of the stable scene, the angels, the cuddly sheep. Ah, the sheep. And now you're thinking, hold on, mate. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is not what I dragged myself out of the office for. You'd not be alone in thinking that you've been shortchanged. There's been increasing objection from parents in recent years reporting how the story is being changed in their children's nativity plays, so that rather than carols and action focused on the baby Jesus with a cast of Mary and Joseph and shepherds and angels and an awkward innkeeper, there are nativities with pop soundtracks and parts for angels, punk fairies, Elvis Presley, footballers, a lobster, and even in one controversial instance, a drunken spaceman. If the nativity's under threat, it makes you wonder what other aspects of Christmas might be at risk. Turkeys, stuffed. Baubles, they're out on a limb. Advent calendars, their days are numbered. Well, what we're looking at today is not your traditional nativity. This is John's take. John was one of Jesus' very best friends, and this is his version of the Christmas story. John 1, verse 14, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." That's it. All the business with the donkey, the stable, the angels, the wise men, the stars, all of that in just 9 words. But John isn't telling us everything he could tell us in his account of Jesus' life. He is telling us what he thinks we really need to know, what we really need to be clear about. He's telling us, just in that verse really, who Jesus is. He's telling us what Jesus came to do, and he's telling us why we should care about that. So that's what we're going to think about very quickly together today. As John gives us here the very heart of the Nativity. Firstly, by explaining to us who Jesus is. When John says the Word became flesh, he's talking about someone being born. Now, currently around the world, apparently, there's about 350,000 babies born every day. It's not quite one born every minute. In fact, it's 4.5 born every second. So to understand why John is so excited about this particular birth, we need to understand who it is that's being born. We need to understand who is this Word. Because you see, the word there, could get confusing, but stick with me, isn't just a word, it's a name. You might notice it's got a capital W. In this introduction to his life story, the name Jesus doesn't get used until verse 17, but right back at the start, right back in verse 1, John has introduced us to Jesus by calling him the Word. And he's told us that the Word really matters because the Word was God. John says to us that at Christmas, the remarkable truth is that God, in all his glorious majesty, all his sheer incomprehensible scale, reduced himself, humbled himself to the flesh of humanity. The mighty ruler of the universe took on the weakness and vulnerability of being a tiny baby. The creator of all things humbled himself by taking upon himself the limits of the creation. From so far above us to becoming one of us. That's what you can lose sight of amidst the traditional nativity scene if you're not careful. But pack away the manger, the donkey, the shepherd, the three kings, Elvis, and the spaceman. And what you're left with is the most extraordinary thing of all. God on earth as a person. That's who John knew. That's who Jesus is. That's the unique claim of Christianity, the truth right at the heart of the Nativity. So if that's who Jesus is, what did Jesus come to do? Well, John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. John says, we saw his glory, but what is glory? Well, I don't know, what would be your sporting highlight of the year? If you think back, for me, I think it would probably be the final of the Women's Euros, England and Spain. Amazing stuff. Kind of drama that you just can't script. And we won, with apologies to any Spaniards in the room. And then as the players stood aloft that podium and raised that trophy in the air and all the fireworks and the ticker tape go off and the flash bulbs, the whole world watching, there we saw their glory. John says they saw the glory of the Word, of the one and only. They saw the glory of Jesus. And if you read on in John's Gospel, please do think about doing just that. If you haven't before, you can take away the copy that you've been given today. I haven't checked with Glenn, but I'm sure he doesn't mind. You can just take it, read it through. You'd see numerous ways in which Jesus' glory was demonstrated. Water turned into wine. Thousands fed with just a handful of bread and fish. The paralyzed restored, the blind given sight, the dead raised to life. And yet Jesus himself tells us at which point he's at his most glorious. Which event, if you like, is his trophy-raising moment. Later in John's Gospel he says this, he talks about the Son of Man. The Son of Man is just Jesus' way of referring to himself. Jesus said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus says that at the beginning of a sequence of events which takes him to the cross. Jesus says that his most spectacular achievement, the most glorious event which John and the other eyewitnesses saw, was his humiliation and death. I've got to say that is a strange and surprising kind of glory. What can possibly be glorious about that? Well, Jesus says in that verse, his death is what is needed to bear much fruit, or to put it another way, to bring much life. Because the Bible tells us we've all got a major problem, and that is the problem of our sin and its tragic, inevitable consequence, which is death. And from right back at the beginning of the story, these problems have been unsolvable. There's been nobody able to break the miserable pattern of disobedience and death. No one until the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And lived not disobeying God, but living as God made man, living the perfect life and then dying, not as a consequence of his sin, but as a conscious, willing choice, so that by his death, others might have life. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. We've seen his glory, John says. That is why Jesus has come. Which brings us, as we close, to the final part of our verse. And the question, well, okay, why should I care? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. John says those two things are characteristics which Jesus was full of, and which sum up really why all this matters so much for us. Grace and truth. Now, grace is the giving of a gift that somebody doesn't deserve. Maybe, I don't know, do you guys still do Secret Santa in the office? Maybe you've got a Secret Santa at work this year, and you have drawn out the name of a colleague or a boss, and, you really do not have very much time for them, because they're just not a very nice person, to be honest. And you know what you'd like to give them this Christmas, but a piece of your mind and a smack in the chops isn't really the dumb thing. So you'll probably go for a box of chocolates or a nice bottle of red or something like that. But as you hand over the money to buy whatever you buy, as you go to the trouble of putting a ribbon on it, you write their name on the gift label, you place it in the Secret Santa pile, through gritted teeth maybe, that's a little bit of grace. The giving of a gift that somebody does not deserve. Well, right at the heart of the Nativity here in this verse, we find grace in the greatest Christmas present ever, wrapped not in paper, but in flesh, delivered not down the chimney, but ultimately delivered up onto a cross, so that we might be forgiven, friends, children indeed, of God. And we find that amazingly, this gift is for us. Because the Bible is clear on what we deserve to receive. We have rejected, mistreated, disbelieved God. And so we deserve for him to remove himself from us, to take life from us. But instead, we're offered freedom. Freedom from guilt. Freedom from shame. Freedom from fear. We're offered relationship with God. Even more than that, able to call God our Father. to know deep peace and love and joy now, to look forward to life at its very best forever. We do not deserve those things. And yet Jesus, by grace, offers us all of them. Because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's the gift at the centre of the Christmas story, the gift at the centre of the Christian faith. And it's a gift that we can receive, even today. That's the amazing grace announced in the Christmas story. But the wonderful thing is that it's not just a story. It's truth, says John, full of grace and truth. When we look at Jesus, we don't see a rose-tinted view of things as we might wish them to be. Ah, isn't it lovely, but if only it were real. No, John says, you see them as they really are. So as we finish, let me ask you, if that is what is at the heart of the Christmas story, if that is what is held out to you this Christmas, have you really thought about it? Have you really looked at it before you walk away? Like I say, take away your John's Gospel and read it. It won't take you very long. Ask the questions you've got about it. Get along to a church over Christmas. I'm sure the guys here would be happy to recommend one to near where you live. Or you could come back here next week. There's another carol service. They'll be here every week after Christmas, just looking at the Bible. Great places to really scrutinize and consider these things for yourself, because surely this is potentially too good a gift just to pass by and ignore. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That may not be your traditional nativity, but it is the very heart of the true story we need to hear this year. And it is the best news we will ever hear.